Good morning. Good morning, church.
Well, today we're blessed to have a guest speaker. We're now in our second weekend for our missions month. And our speaker is a passionate preacher and teacher of God's Word. He has had formal education in Foursquare Bible College, Asian Theological Seminary, and Cebu Graduate School of Theology. He is currently serving as the Church Mobilization Coordinator of International Justice Mission, or IJM, responsible for creating initiatives among congregations toward the rehabilitation of family values, restoration of victims of abuse and exploitation. So, church, let us all welcome in our midst Pastor Glenn De Guzman.
Maayong buntag. Good morning. That's all the Bisayan I can say. Okay. So don't expect too much. It's an honor to be here this morning, to be speaking from God's Word with you. Let me just turn on my tablet. It went to sleep. All right. It's exciting. I want to thank the leadership of the church, Pastor TJ, and the rest of the pastoral team for having me. As a pastor, the sole joy of every person called to preach the gospel is to preach the gospel. That's, when every time you're given that opportunity, it makes you really happy and glad, because that's what exactly we're called to do. This morning, I would like to invite you to turn your Bibles, digital or otherwise, to the book of Luke. Okay, we're going to be reading a portion of Jesus' life recorded by Luke in chapter 4. The Word of God is vital. The Word of God is important in the life of every church. And so may I ask everyone to please stand. Let's all stand as we read together. Okay, please read with me. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He read that portion of prophecy, and then verse 20, and he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Let's pray. Father, Lord, your word is life. Lord, speak to us, your people. Capture every heart, capture every mind this morning, and allow us, Lord, to focus on your word. Allow us, Lord, to understand your word. Lord, fill our hearts. For those of us who came hungry and needing some kind of feeding from your word, God, meet that person, Lord. Meet that person. And let your word become alive for that person this morning, God. Lord, we submit to your word as a body, as believers, God. We praise you, we honor you, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's all be seated. I entitled this message this morning, "His Mission, Our Mission." It's Missions Month. I pray the Lord to use this message for all of us to realize that what we are today, who we are today, and why we are today is hardly, remotely about us. Let me say that again. What you are today, who you are today, why you are today, it's not about you. It's not about you. The Lord saved us for a reason. There is a mission that God has attached to His saving you. And for this church, there is a mission that God attached to the calling of this church. This church exists, and there is a calling upon you. I want that to be very, very clear, brothers and sisters. last week's message provides a fitting introduction to our text today. As mentioned by Pastor TJ, Psalm 2, if you were here, Psalm 2 is a messianic prophecy announcing the sovereign, powerful reign of Jesus as King of the nations. Nations doesn't necessarily mean as nations, the way we know now, but it was talking about people. It was talking about ethnies. It was talking about people groups. And the prophecy was there was going to be a king who will appear, who will come, and that's Jesus Christ, and that is for all people in the world. In today's text, we're told that Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, hence his hometown. Turns out, he's the assigned reader for the prophets from the prophets that day. As a rabbi and the assigned reader for the day, he was expected to give a brief commentary on the reading. However, instead of commenting, he said something that seemed to have thrown everybody off. And different people in that synagogue that day reacted differently. But generally, the reactions turned hostile, as Luke further narrates. This morning, brothers and sisters, we're moving from understanding prophecy in Psalm 2 to we come to this text 700 years later. We're now looking at the fulfillment of a prophecy. Of course, by another prophet, by Isaiah, but basically it's talking about the Messiah, the coming Messiah. So Jesus came. Now, prior to this, if you will read the Gospels, prior to this, Jesus came back from numerous travels. He was all over the place, and then he came back to do this. He was a rabbi, he was a teacher, and he was given that assignment to read from the prophets that morning. And it is expected of those assigned to do the reading for those kinds of services to give a commentary. But in verse 28, this is what we read. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. Wow. You know, every now and then I say something that throws my wife off and she gets mad. I read that and I said, whoa. I got that from Jesus. You know, sometimes we have a way of saying things that make people mad. Well, now there's a very good excuse right there. You can quote Jesus. Oh, I'm just like Jesus. And the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so that they could throw him down the cliff. They wanted to kill him just because of something that he said. He said exactly something opposite to what they were expecting. And they got mad. They wanted to kill him. Remember from Psalm 2? Why do the nations rage, says the prophet, and the people plot in vain? Remember that? They didn't like him. They didn't like him. What caused the uproar? What did Jesus say that totally freaked everybody to manic fury? Here's this, verse 21. This is what he said. Jesus said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That's what he said. He read, he was given the scroll. That was the assigned reader. Mind you, Jesus did not pick that verse. It was assigned. He read it, and then people were all looking at him and waiting for him to say something. And this is what he said. He said, guys, hey, everybody, today this is fulfilled in me. Jesus made a direct reference to himself and Yahweh's anointed. They knew what he said. They understood Jesus very clearly. He claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be that person that all the Jews up to this day is still waiting for to come. Well, unlike the people in the synagogue that day, Jesus' claim doesn't shock us at all. We already know that to be a fact. This morning, I invite all of us to look into this story and let's see together what I believe we can understand about the priorities of Jesus' mission as the Lord's anointed. I want to speak to each and every one of us here today and to the leadership of this church and challenge you towards a place of consideration, to look closely at Jesus' priorities and see how what you prioritize as a church today match with his. Can we do that? That's my challenge to you. Let's look at this story. The leaders of the church, when you sit down together and plan, let's see how your plans match with Jesus' outline. Let me go to my outline. The first point in my outline is the certainty of our mission. The certainty of our mission. Understand that Jesus spent many days traveling prior to being back in his hometown. We're not told exactly how he got the assignment to read from the prophets that day. But him doing that was not random. It was very intentional. It was planned. Understand that? It wasn't like, oh, Jesus said. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, God, it's been a tiring week. I've been traveling. Maybe I should go back to Nazareth. Oh, yeah, by the way, it's Sabbath. Why not? Let me go to synagogue. It wasn't like that at all. Jesus going there was very intentional. God planned it. The sovereign God planned it. Look at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. Jesus is well aware that his presence in the temple that Saturday afternoon wasn't an accident. He knew he was fulfilling an event the triune God has decreed. Notice the words of the prophecy, verse 18. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Read that verse very carefully. The prophecy alludes, it reveals the triune God decreeing the coming of Jesus. And we know this true. We know this to be true from numerous texts of Scripture. The coming of Jesus was decreed. There, the Holy Spirit, there, Yahweh, the Lord. Translated, we read that in our English Bibles now. We see the word Lord. If you look at that in the original language, you'd know it's actually talking about Yahweh. So there's the Spirit, there's the Father, there's Yahweh, there's Jesus. Again, his coming, his appointment was all part of the plan. The coming of Jesus Christ makes the mission of his church certain. Brothers and sisters, Jesus did not come by accident. It was part of a plan. Now, why is this important to understand? Why is this very important to understand? Brothers and sisters, this is important. It is crucial to understand because similarly, every believer and follower of Jesus Christ is called to a mission. Every believer, I always put those two words together. Every believer and follower, not just a believer. A lot of people go to church and they're believers. We need followers. We're called to be followers, not just believers. And if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, there is a calling in your life. Every church God plants in communities is planted to fulfill a mission. It is not an accident, you guys, this church is here. Not an accident at all. You came today, that was not an accident. Maybe your wife dragged you. Maybe your friend just texted you. Maybe you came here today for very wrong reason. You wanted to just make an appointment, whatever. But let me tell you something. You're here for a reason. You're here. You're hearing me. You're hearing this message. We're reading the scripture together. It was part of a plan for God for you. When you declare this month to be Missions Month, and I see that your leadership is doing its very best to help each member understand and see how that can look like, tells me that you are in the right direction. I'm really surprised. The message last Sunday, Pastor Teach and I didn't talk. Last night after the message, I didn't know. Pastor Jed walked up to me and showed me a piece of paper that this verse, this prophecy, is actually the theme verse of the mission theme of this church. I didn't know that until last night. So the church having this kind, your leadership having this kind of awareness and wanting to do this tells me, that encourages me as a pastor, as a brother in Christ, that encourages me that this church is in the right direction that tells me that you as a body of believers and followers of the Messiah are being intentional. You are being intentional. And praise God for that. You are being purposeful in fulfilling your mission as a church. There is a certainty to our mission. The second point, the message of our mission. Jesus was certain about his mission. That makes our mission certain. Next question we want to be able to answer is, what do we say? Okay, we have a mission, but what do we say? What is our message? How does what we say translate into actions? How does what we preach become a tangible reality in the communities where we are planted? You see, church, we can't be just all talk. We can't just be all talk. We've got to find a way to walk it. You understand? We don't just say things. God wants us to actually do things. We've got to walk the message. Look at verse 18 again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim goodness to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppress. Here, Jesus identifies the first item in the list of what I think is the Messiah's outline of his mission tasks. Jesus makes clear that Yahweh, the sovereign triune God, anointed me to bring good news. Here we get a sense of Jesus' focus regarding his mission. There is a particular specificity to it. And it's important for us, his followers, not to miss that. Jesus' anointing is for a specific mission. And what is that mission? That is the proclamation. That is the declaration. That is the assertion. That is the announcement of what? The gospel. That is top priority to Jesus' mission. The declaration of the gospel. The gospel, which our modern Bible translations render good news. Every time you read the word good news in our English Bibles now, that's talking about the gospel. Here's my best effort to paraphrase. Anointed me to bring good news. This is not a new translation. This is just my paraphrase. This is what Jesus said. My appointment as the Messiah is so that I must preach God's message of hope, joy, victory, and deliverance. This is the gospel, brothers and sisters. This is the gospel that God is king. That God is king and he reigns sovereign over all. That is the most, probably a very important aspect of the gospel that every church has to understand. The gospel is all about this sovereign God. This God who reigns as king. Overall, that every man and woman who comes to Jesus will experience salvation from their sins. And they will be made God's sons and daughters, heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 1 verses 14 and 15, we're told, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the good news. And what did he say? The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Let me talk about how that relates to our mission, brothers and sisters. The message of our mission is the message that every man and woman needs to hear. It is the message that every Cebuano needs to know about. It is the message that every LGU in the Visayas needs to understand. This is the gospel. John MacArthur says, the answer to all injustice and brokenness is the righteousness of God. And the only hope for anyone in the world, and therefore for the world at all, is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to fix ourselves on the Word of God. Fulfilling biblical ministry and preaching the true gospel, it establishes what justice and restoration is. See why it's important for us to focus, to build ourselves on the gospel? How do we apply this in our ministry or in the life of our church today. Just exactly how does this look like? I urge you, brothers and sisters here at Living Word, I urge the leadership of this church, keep the gospel the main thing. If that is the only thing you will remember from this message today, I'm fine. Keep the gospel the main thing in all that you communicate as you fulfill your mission. Poverty is not the problem here in Cebu. It's not the problem. It's sin. It's sin. And the gospel is the only cure to sin. You know, we're confronted with circumstances in a workplace, in our situation at work. We see a lot of people and saying that, you know, blaming it on poverty. Where, as a church, I call upon you, I urge you, do not believe that. Stop believing that. Let's change that narrative. Poverty is not a problem. It's sin in the human heart. And the only response, the only appropriate response to that is the truth of God's word. We have to call men and women to come, acknowledge, surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. People say promiscuity is rampant. Why? Because of sin that lies in the heart of every man and woman who doesn't know Jesus Christ. They say suicide is a growing incidence among so many. Why? Because the human heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Apostle Paul said to the Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God." Brothers and sisters, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That hasn't changed for the last 3,000 years. That hasn't changed. God still only uses the gospel to save people. You know, a lot of churches busy themselves with, you know, ensuring, like every Sunday, people would come to a church, very nice everything, very nice presentation of everything. I like air-conditioned churches, don't get me wrong, right? That's a good thing, right? But it's not that. It's not that. I like good music, of course, but it's not that. That's not the gospel, right? It's what comes out of this pulpit right here. That's the most important thing. It's what is spoken in this space right here. That is the most important thing. And I hope that everyone who comes to church every Sunday, you come to church, and the only thing you want to be able for you to experience that day when you come to church is to hear from God. I hope so. I go to church because, God, I'm tired. God, it's stressful out there. God, fill me. Feed me. God. I hope that people in churches come to church for that, and that most importantly. The third point is the heart of our mission. The heart of our mission. When we speak about the heart of our mission, we mean that which makes us passionate, even emotional about what we believe is our calling as a church. What is it that compels the leadership of our church? What is the subject that dominates our meetings and our discussions? The gospel is the message, and I want to tell you right now, the gospel is more than just rhetoric. The gospel is no mere talk. Again, verse 18. Let's process this verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Process these words, liberty to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind. Let's have the slide for those, please. Liberty to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now notice, these are all part of the gospel, right? You have to understand that. You have to understand that. Jesus, quoting a prophecy written 700 years before his time, uses the same language that was addressed to the previous generation of Jews who were enslaved and oppressed. Jesus did not change the language. This was the same language used by the prophet to address people that were experiencing physical, real slavery. And you, Jesus, 700 years later, applies the same language to his generation. We read these words, and the questions we ought to be asking is, how does this look like in our time? Fast forward 3,000 years to our time. How does this look like? How do these ideas become something that's tangible? Something that can impact our communities? What does this mean given the culture and the context of our local church situation? When I read the words liberty to the captives, could that mean that the gospel actually is a message that communicates freedom? There's freedom in the gospel. How does that look like? When I read the word recovery of sight to the blind, does it inform me that restoration is an aspect of the gospel message? Restoration. There's countless broken lives. If you will be honest, God restored you. I mean, I know where I came from. I know where I came from. And I know that I experienced God's restoration. What does Jesus mean when he said, to set at liberty those who are oppressed? Am I to apply the gospel message such that those oppressed in my society today find justice? Understanding this verse, I hope, makes each of us realize that we do not exist for ourselves. We've been saved for a reason. The theme says it all. Saved to be sent. Brothers and sisters, get that in your head. Get that in your head. God saved you because he wants to send you. Because he's called you to a mission. He's called you to a mission. Here's the main idea as I close. The heart of our mission ought to beat in the same way that Jesus' heart for the mission does. What's in the heart of his mission? People. People. Individuals, ethnies, families, and communities, lives of men and women and children. Our mission, our message, our task, everything that we are as bodies of believers here in Cebu, they're not about us. They're about those that God has placed around us. Husband or husbands, it's not about you. It's about your father-in-law who doesn't know Jesus Christ. It's about your mother-in-law. It's about those people. If you're working in an office, it's not about you. It's about your colleague. It's about that person that's next to you. If you're a student, it's not about you. It's about the teachers, the classmates, those people around you. There is a mission that God has placed in your life. And I call on this church to be mindful of the Lord's mission and think about ways and means to make it the pattern for our mission. The heart of our mission ought to be the heart of our Lord's mission. There is certainty to our mission. We have a message, and that is the gospel. Let's find ways to do that. The heart of our mission is about people. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come and Lord, we humble ourselves before you, Father. I pray that every person here this morning who heard this message, Lord, God, you know everyone. You know everyone. You know everyone so well. Lord, for those who are still asking what they are to do with their lives, God, use the message today. Draw that person closer to your son and cause that person want to obey you, Father. God, if there's anyone here this morning who probably hasn't surrendered, hasn't given you his or her life, God, again, be gracious and draw that person to your son and let that person come to your son and experience the grace of your salvation, God. Lord, I pray that as Pastor TJ leads this church, that when they meet, when they talk, when they plan, No, you would be there. You would give them wisdom, God. You would give them direction, Lord. You will remind them of your mission. You will lead them, Lord, to sincerely care for people in the communities, God. To sincerely care for families, Lord. That they would desire to be salt and light, to have an impact in their communities, God. All right, thank you for Living Word. I thank you for the things they're doing now, the ministries. I thank you for everyone who volunteers to serve. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We honor you. We give you praise. We give you glory. You alone deserve them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you very much.